Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the moon. I'm your host for this evening, Lawrence Ray. And today I am joined by my co-host, Ricardo Martinez and Jerry. And today we are interviewing Samurai Wallet, which is a mobile Bitcoin wallet designed with censorship resistance, security, and privacy in mind. How are you doing today, sir?
Very good. Very happy to be here with you.
Fantastic. Good to hear it. And we're happy to have you, of course. So I guess my first question to get us cracking is to head straight back to the early days and ask you for the origin story of Samurai Wallet. Where did this come from and where did the idea to create this wallet come from?
Sure. So I got involved in Bitcoin in around end of 2012. And my co-founder got involved in Bitcoin around the same time. We both had similar trajectories as we got more involved, which ended up in 2013, both of us leaving our fiat full-time jobs and going full-on into Bitcoin. So working for Bitcoin companies, getting paid in Bitcoin, and living off Bitcoin. I know you said that this wasn't a BitRefill shill, but BitRefill made that hugely possible for us. In those early days, being able to buy your groceries and whatnot. But one of the things we both kind of started feeling in 2015, so we had been in the industry now for 2 years, is that there wasn't a big enough emphasis on privacy, transaction privacy in particular. You know, living off of Bitcoin, making lots of Bitcoin transactions, looking at the blockchain and learning how transactions ultimately worked, made us realize that we needed to, if we wanted to obtain basic transactional privacy on the Bitcoin network, we would need to create the software ourselves. So in 2015, we started Samurai Wallet. And right from the get-go, we, as you mentioned in the intro, it was with privacy and security in mind. And everything that we've done since that point has been about maximizing our users' privacy, and the two most important users were ourselves. So making sure that we could use Bitcoin in the way we wanted to, and we had the hypothesis that there would be a lot of other users who would be interested in that as well. And I think that's turned out to be true.
Gotcha. So there's something that was built out of, I guess, you know that you guys are kind of your target market and people similar to you are your target market. So it's built from the passion and kind of working on this is what I want. And then obviously develop from there to appeal more and more to the wider market. Where did the name Samurai come from? I'm curious.
We were playing around with a bunch of different concepts right at the early days. One of which was like Ninja Wallet. The other was, That kind of shifted into Samurai. And then my co-founder, TDevD, he lives in Paris, and he spelled Samurai the French way, which is Samourai, which I had never seen before, not speaking French. And I just liked the way it looked. You know, I said, you know, it's different. There's not going to be a lot of things with that name. And it kind of is on the original theme of Ninja. That's where we ended up. It was kind of a mistake. He was speaking in English, but he spelled it the French way. And I liked it.
That's kind of cool. It's like I always find with names, there's these like interesting stories where something has like maybe one or two different meanings or like a kind of crazy reason. It's like if you find out why the Mr. Olympia contest is called Olympia is because I think they were like drinking Olympia beer. And then one of them was like, this sounds kind of cool and manly. And then it was like, boof, you know, that's right. How it comes about.
Another good one is, so my co-founder TDevD is as he's known these days, or Samurai Dev. The way that got chosen was interesting and kind of funny. So we were trying to figure out, okay, what will our pseudonyms be? And he was typing out the Deliverator, which is a character in a Neal Stephenson novel called Snow Crash. Except as he was writing it out, something fell on his keyboard. And what ended up being typed was T_DEVD. So he's like, we both said, you know, that kind of looks cool, TDevD. We'll go with it.
just run with it. I definitely think those are like, yeah, well, there's lots of cases like that in history of naming where stuff like that happens. So I guess, yeah, it explains. And I guess the ninja theme was that because of like, I suppose with ninjas, they're like hidden in the shadows, like some kind of privacy-based thing, or was it just because it's kind of cool?
I think a little of both. I think the original, if it's a little, it's a long time ago now, but I think one of the original designs for the logo was like a masked ninja, with the mask being kind of representing privacy. So I think that's why we started going off of ninja. But it, you know, I think in time it wouldn't have held up well, ninja wallet. I think samurai is one, when you say it out loud, you understand what it is. It's a samurai. But when you see it written out in that French spelling, I think it's just unique. And for search engines and everything like that, it is pretty beneficial not to have a very generic term like samurai in the typical spelling.
It sounds cooler than ninja wallet as well.
We've had a bunch of other privacy wallet guys on here. We had the Wasabi guys, we had Join Market, we had Mercury Wallet. Can you kind of explain Samurai's privacy functionality, like how you guys are doing coin joins and stuff like that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so the way we look at transactional privacy is in a holistic way. So it's not necessarily one tool like coin join and it's done, you know, you're good to go. It's a variety of different tools to address certain situations that you're in. One can be before mix, one can be mixing, i.e. coin join, and the other can be, and actually most importantly, is how you spend the post-mix coins that have been mixed. So right from the most basic fundamentals, the wallet takes care of addressing a lot of the heuristics that analysis companies use to target transactions that they're investigating. So this the users don't have to think about, the wallet does, but some of those things are like change output randomization. So many wallets will have the change output of a transaction be in a typical and deterministic place. So usually input or output number one. So you have your spend output as zero, and then output number one is the change output. Samurai randomizes where the change goes, so it's not a deterministic place. Another one that we by default address, so the user doesn't have to do anything, is what we call like type addresses. So if you're spending from a Bash32 address to a legacy address beginning with one, the change will go back to an address in your wallet beginning with one. So it's not obvious where the spend transaction was. So that's the script type heuristic that targets. And then there's more interventionist style tools. So where the user intervenes and does something to increase their privacy. In this, we have Stonewall. This adds additional inputs and outputs to a typical transaction to introduce entropy or doubt as to which inputs correspond to which outputs. These are, you can think of these as mini coin join transactions. They look like they're a coin join with at least two participants, but it's not a coordinated coin join like our other coin join product called Whirlpool. Stonewall X2, which is the same as Stonewall, except you actually do use a second person to compose these transactions. And the last additional transaction that users can engage in is something called Stowaway. This is a type of pay join transaction. So if I wanted to send you, Ricardo, some Bitcoin, I could do a Stowaway with you where both of our wallets are contributing inputs. And the resulting transaction appears like just a normal, everyday, simple Bitcoin transaction, but in fact, it's a miniature coin join between our two wallets. And this has an added benefit of, let's say I'm sending you one Bitcoin and we do a stowaway together. On the blockchain, that amount being spent won't be revealed. So it will say something like, spending 3.2 Bitcoin, but actually I sent you one. So the amount type isn't revealed. So those two transactions can be used outside of mixing or as a post-mix tool with our kind of flagship privacy tool is Whirlpool. And this is a blinded Chaumian coin join. This is the best privacy you can obtain in Bitcoin today is using a coordinated coin join. It's different from both Join Market and Wasabi in the sense that there's very strict rules. No address reuse, no coins that have mixed before can mix again together. You can only provide one input per mix. You know, these are like coordinated rules that make it different, but at fundamental level, it's the same idea as a Wasabi mix or a Join Market mix, that you're breaking the links of the past history to the future activity of those coins.
Can you explain how Dojo is different than Whirlpool for those who don't know?
Yeah, sure. So Dojo was launched before Whirlpool, and it's not a transaction privacy tool. It's a network privacy tool. So if you don't run your own node, you're relying on someone else's node is pretty much the general consensus, right? So if you're not running your own Bitcoin node, you're getting your information, your balance information, and your transaction information from someone else's node. What Dojo is, it's a software suite that allows you to run your own node and connect your Samurai wallet to that node. So you're not relying on anyone other than yourself to retrieve that information.
Something that you, sorry, this is like going back to the question Ricardo asked before, but something that you mentioned is like that your guys' coin join implementation is different to that of Wasabi or Join Markets, and you have these rules in place. Why is it that you guys decided to do that, to implement those things that make it different to the Wasabi's coin join? Like, is there a reason behind that?
Yeah, so we, what Whirlpool is built off of a type of protocol called Zero Link. And this is what Wasabi was originally going to be built off of as well. The protocol spec Zero Link was written by Nopara from Wasabi and TDevD from Samurai with contributions from a bunch of other people. But primarily, we were both working on this spec to implement a coin join. We fully implemented that spec. And that spec has those rules in place in that spec. So whatever we've done on Whirlpool was because as part of the Zero Link specification, it should have been done. It had to be done. Why Wasabi didn't fully implement that, I'm not 100% sure. It must, you know, I'm sure there were reasons behind it. But in our view, a coin join should be theoretically perfect. A mixed transaction, a coin join transaction should be theoretically perfect, meaning that there are no deterministic links between inputs and outputs of the transaction, right? There's no, you can't say with any certainty that input one corresponds to output two. If you can do that in a mixed transaction, we think that it's a flaw of the transaction, and it can be attacked. So in order to get that perfect entropy and no deterministic links within a transaction, you have to implement those rules. So that's why we did that.
Sorry, I kind of wanted to change the subject on you again. I know Samurai is like only on chain. Do you guys have any plans to implement Lightning in any way?
No, there's no plans as of now, and it doesn't look like that will happen. I mean, we've kept track of Lightning adoption and how it's being used, and we don't see a privacy benefit per se, and we see that actual uptick in terms of consumer adoption is still very, very low. So we want to focus on chain because we still think that the bulk of transactions are happening on chain, and the privacy problem on the main chain still hasn't been resolved, really.
Ricardo did mention that we've had a couple of, you know, privacy, you know, wallets, you know, founders here, and Wasabi in particular. You know, I am very aware that you guys are not in the best of terms, but as someone who's been observing the rivalry or tussle, I couldn't really understand it. What exactly, can you please, I know this might be a bit, you know, weird for you, but could you please, how did this, you know, how did this whole, you know, tussle start? Where's the origin of the story?
You know, our view is completely focused on the software, not any individual or person involved in the creation of the software. Our view when it comes to Wasabi is that the software is flawed, and the transactions that it creates, the mixes that it creates that users are a part of, is quite weak and can be attacked quite easily. And we've, over the course of two years, maybe 3 years, since 2019, we've been producing research to make our case that this is a flawed CoinJoin implementation. I think the animosity comes from the fact that the research is brushed away by the other side, by Wasabi, and not taken seriously. And, you know, they'll say things like, you know, we're just attacking them because we're a competitor. This isn't the case. You know, when we've discovered serious issues that can be replicated by anyone, because it's all we have is the blockchain. We have everything that anyone else has. When we can provide issues that can be replicated and they get ignored or we get defamed, you know, that's where the animosity comes from. But that's not going to change. We're always looking at the blockchain. We're looking at our own transactions that Samurai makes, and we're looking at Join Market, and we're looking at Wasabi. And when we find issues in either of them, including our own, we make a report to be very transparent and open about it. We did this, for example, with Join Market. We figured out a way of attacking Join Market to de-anonymize certain coins going in and where they went out. And the response from Join Market was the complete opposite of Wasabi. They read the report, they did it themselves, they saw what the issue was, and they made a fix. You know, and that's how we think it should go. Doesn't matter where the vulnerability or the issue comes from, even if it's your competitor, you should look at it seriously. You should do your own report and investigation. And if there's something that you can do to improve the, you know, the overall product for your users, you should do it. So, I mean, that's been our position on it. And we, you know, we hope that Wasabi 2.0 fixes a lot of the issues. I can't say I'm optimistic, but I've been looking at the transactions on testnet, and they're not much better in terms of the issues that we've identified. One of the main issues that we identified, the fact that coin selection for going into a mix was not random but deterministic. We found that at the end of last year, or at the end of 2020, I believe. And, you know, their response was that we were trying to blackmail them, that it wasn't a real issue, that everything is fine. I didn't notice that they fixed that issue in Wasabi Wallet 2.0. I noticed in the code they fixed that. So that's good, but there's still some serious issues with the way the mixes are, or the transactions are composed.
As someone who has deeply studied on-chain privacy, what's your opinion on Mercury Wallet state chain swaps?
I don't know enough about it. I think it's an interesting area to explore. So I need to learn more. I need to do more research on state chains in particular. But you know, when it comes to Bitcoin privacy, I am open and very happy whenever I see a new project with those goals come around, because, you know, there's not a lot of us working on this stuff. So it's good to see.